Thank you for your presence. Lord, it's arresting, it's settling, God, it's soothing, it's calming, it's ministering. Lord, it's full of joy in your presence, God, is life evermore. It's sensical, God, when we're with you, when we're before you, when you have our focus, God, everything makes sense so much more. Everything seems so much more beautiful, God, when we recognize your hand and your touch and your leading and your guidance and in your presence, God, in our lives. And I pray for your people this morning, God, wherever they are streaming this service, whether it be their family room, Lord, or their deck, their vehicle, the break room, God, at work, wherever they are, God, we pray that your presence would burst forth, Lord, in that place, that they could sense you and feel you, God, and know that they're surrounded by you. Like David said, Lord, where can we flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the grave, you are there. If I'm alone in a hospital room, you are there. If I'm depressed in my bedroom, you are there. If I'm sick and I'm weary and I'm heavy laden, you, the great physician, are there. And your nail-pierced hand, it reaches forth and it wipes tears from our eyes. And your heart is gentle, Lord, and you're kind and you're compassionate. As we sing, mercy is in your eyes. You're tender and you're gracious and you're slow to anger and you're abounding in goodness and forbearance and gentleness and kindness to your people. You're not short-tempered with us. You're never exasperated by us. Your mercies are new this morning. Great is your faithfulness. You laid your life down for us, Lord. What won't you do that's for our benefit, for our good? You've proven your love to us by laying down your life for us in that while we were yet sinners, you still died our death and paid our price for our sins. You exchanged, Lord, our rags, our garments of filthiness for your garments of righteousness. You became sin who knew no sin so that we could become the righteousness of the Father. You adopted us into your family. We are no longer slaves or estranged or even just acquaintances or even friends, but we are sons and daughters of the living God. We get to now cry, Abba, Father, to our dad who is in heaven. We have your ear. And God, you have ours this morning. You have our praises. They rise from our hearts. Lord, in your presence, God, everything makes so much more sense. In your presence, God, we find rest for our weary hearts. And we can't wait, Lord, for next Sunday to come. And all of the people that desire to be here gathered back, what a reunion it will be, Lord, and how precious it must be in your sight. As your word tells us, behold how good and how pleasant it is when brethren, from your vantage point, God, from your perspective, when children gather together in unity, it is like the oil, the ointment that dripped from the head of Aaron down his garment. God, we long for that day, but what it will be when you have us before you on streets of gold, all of your children from the Old Testament and the New before your throne singing, worthy is the Lamb to receive all glory and honor and praise. And then there'll be a portion, God, where you must stop us and you interrupt. And with that baritone voice like thunder, you'll sing over us. When you rest, Lord, and we're before you, like Zephaniah says, you'll begin to sing over us and a banner will hang and it will be love. It will be love that's over our heads and you'll sing over your people. You'll rejoice because we'll be home. What a day, God, it will be. How you must long for us. We long for you, but how you must long for us. And this morning, God, we respond and we say, you have our attention. You have our focus, our eyes are on you. We give place to your word, God. I don't know what churches around the globe are doing, but I know what this church is doing. We give place to your word. We've worshiped you in spirit, and now we want to turn our attention to worship you in truth. Set us straight, God. Teach us. Soften our hard, calloused hearts. Lord, the older we get, the more opinionated we become, the more staunch in our stances we get. And Lord, that needs to be broken today. That needs to be bridled today. That needs to be harnessed today. Make us men and women of your word, who love your word, who exalt your word. Speak to us, we pray. This is our daily bread. It's our sustenance. It's our corporate meal. It's our table that we come to. In the presence of our enemies, in the presence of a hostile world who has become so anti-Christ, anti-Bible, we come and we feast at your table. We're surrounded by the wolves. We're surrounded, God, by haters. Even so much of the church has become haters of those who practice righteousness and holiness. But Lord, we come and we take our seat at the King's table, the table that hides our lameness. We're here to sup with you, God. We're here to break bread with you. We're here to do what John of old did, to lay our head in your bosom and just to hear your heart for what we need this week. We go from week to week as a church, God. Give us what we need for these next 7 days till you bring us back into your house. Bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Wherever you are, bless the Lord. Give him a round of applause. Give him a shout. Give him an amen. Give him a praise. Bless the Lord. Let your children see you. Bless the Lord in your house. Your house is a place of worship. Bless the Lord. Welcome his presence. Listen, whenever Jesus is glorified, the Holy Spirit will come. You want your house to be holy. You want your house to be filled with the presence of the Lord. Begin to worship Jesus. You stand up, dads, and you cheer for your football team or your baseball team, and you get excited when there's a home run or a touchdown, and you don't care what your kids see or do when they see that. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Holy, there is none like him. He's set apart from everyone else and anything else in all of this world. There's only one God, and it is the true living God, the God of the Bible, and we exalt him this morning. We are in Hebrews chapter 12. The Holy Spirit has just slown me way down here in this chapter. We'll handle just one verse this morning. I'm calling my message today a message from the Prince of Peace and the Holy of Holies. Hey, Pastor Dave, who told you to say what you're saying? Where did this, you know, sermon come from? Or today's vernacular of sermons, you know, I hear a lot of guys say my talk. Well, it's not my talk and it's not my sermon. This is a message from the Prince of Peace and the Holy of Holies. This is clear instructions given to us found in God's word. And that's how we learn how to live, from God's word. We love to worship God. It's exciting. The music is wonderful. The hype is great. And when you're back in this room, you're going to feel what some of the leadership and Bible teachers got to feel this morning. And it's going to be spectacular. It's going to be like those fireworks that went off in your neighborhood last night and kept your dog barking and kept, you know, you and your kids up watching the fireworks going off. It's going to be like that when we're back together again. But listen, we've got to be anchored by truth, okay? Because zeal without knowledge is dangerous. And God's word gives us knowledge that translates into wisdom. It anchors our souls. It gives us an establishment, something to stand on. It keeps our footing in the faith so that we can know how to live in Christ. And so we're slowing down here in Hebrews chapter 12. I would have loved to have taken you from verse 12 down to verse 17. I see that as the context of the text. That's really how you should read through it on your own devotionally. If you want to go back and reread it, take that whole chunk. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 through 17. If it were a Wednesday evening, I'd do it with you. But the Holy Spirit wants me just to handle verse 14 this morning, and I'll read it out loud for you in its entirety, and I think you'll right away get the sense as to why. It gets difficult right away. First two words, follow peace. You're thinking, oh, that's easy. I can have peace if nobody's around or bothering me. I know, but then it gets harder. Watch this. Follow peace with all men. And maybe you're thinking, if he just said follow peace with most men, Follow peace with people who think the way that I do, or follow peace with Christians. I think that might be harder, actually, than unbelievers. Christians are tough. Follow peace. This is a present imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's not, hey, if you want to do this, do this. It's not something that's leisurely in the Christian walk or faith that you get to opt out of or do if you want to do it. It's a present imperative. The tenses are, you must continually be doing this. You must continually be doing this without exception. You must follow peace. And then men is added by the translators. It's you must follow peace with all. And then he goes like this, and holiness. Isn't it interesting that he couples those two? Follow peace, present imperative. You must continually, right now, be pursuing after peace. The word follow there is the word that's used 25 times for persecute in the New Testament. When you're persecuting somebody, what are you doing? You're chasing them. You're not nonchalant about the pursuit. You're not casual about it. You're not like, oh, you know, there's the person I'm trying to kill. I guess I'll sort of just see where they kind of end up going and maybe I'll catch up to them. If I'm persecuting somebody, at least the way the word is used in the New Testament, I'm on a hunt for them. I'm chasing them down, right? Saul of Tarsus, before he was Paul the Apostle, was doing this very thing to the early church. On a chariot, riding, you know, dragging men and women out of their homes. I mean, he was hot and heavy on the heels of Christians. That's the word. You must be hot and heavy in your pursuit. E.T. Robertson, a Greek translator, he renders it this way. You got to be on a hunt. For what, Pastor? Peace. Peace with who? Everybody. And holiness. Can we use that word today in the church? Is it okay to use that word? Jesus says, the Prince of Peace, from the Holy of Holies, the throne of God, he says, this is beloved. He's speaking to believers because unbelievers can't do either of these things. He's speaking to believers today. It's a word in season. He's saying to all of us, in the midst of all of this chaos and all of this separation and division and all of these schisms that are going on, the God of the Bible says this word to you and I. It's not a happen chance or coincidence that we, Calvary Westside, are in this chunk of scriptures right now. He says this, here's your word for the week. Here it is. You got to go after peace with everything that you have, with all men. And holiness. Because without such, you can't see the Lord. So don't quote your Christianese. Don't spit scriptures that are all difficult to handle as it is when you're not even willing to do these two things, because Jesus says, not me. The Holy Spirit says, not me. I'm not the author of this. I'm the messenger. I'm the heralder. The Lord Almighty says this, you can't and no one can see God. And that should trip us up right away. That should bother everyone. This isn't a boring Bible study. No way. This isn't a boring Bible study. There's no way anyone could be bored right now. There's no way that anybody could be checked out right now. You just heard what the Lord said to us, right? Let's just camp here and tear it up. He says this, if you're not doing these things, believer, you're in the middle of a race. You're running. Don't lose the context of the text. You're running the race. You're looking unto who? Shout me down from your family. Who are you looking unto? Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Wasn't too long ago we were there. You're running the race. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. He asks you to cast off every weight and every sin that so easily what? Besets you and entangles you. And he says in verse 2, and you're looking unto Jesus, not the crowd stand. Crowd stand's only there in the beginning and at the end. The hype's only there in the very beginning when you're feeling good, but man, you're on mile 3 now. It's gone. Can't see him anymore. Nobody's there anymore. You're past that point. So the only thing you can do now is keep your eyes fixed on the prize. It's a mental picture. I'm looking unto Jesus. The author, the beginning, the initiator, and the perfecter, the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before me endured the cross, he despised the shame. He ran the race to win. He already completed the course for you, and he's laid it for us out. We're in the middle of running this. He says this last week to us, be careful, because in this race running, hands get heavy. That's one of the first things that happen when you're weary in a race. And you want to drop your hands, you want to get sloppy and lose your form. You want to start running like this. Can't do it. You got to use your hands to pull through the air, keep your momentum, to keep your movement, to keep your pace. You got to do that. But listen, in your sloppiness, sometimes you start to get restless and disgruntled in your relationships. You seeing this? This is a whole chapter here. We divide it up because of time frames. That's why. That's the only reason why. In the midst of all of this race running, in the midst of being in the thick of it, you got to be careful because your hands are going to start to droop. He told you that last week. Lift up your weary hands that hang down. You got to lift them up. And in the process of that, be cognizant of how your relationships are with man. Because one of the things that happen when you're hot and you're irritated, just in your own circumstances and in the own lane that God has you running in, is you start to get contentious, perhaps. Well, you tell me what's an antonym to peace. You start to get argumentative. You start to get difficult. I think contentious is perfect. You start to get catty. You start to get nasty with other people. And the Lord says this. We'll just handle peace right now. Lord says this. If you're not pursuing peace, if you're not on a hunt for peace with everybody, well, then not only can you not see the Lord, but this should bother you even more. Others can't see the Lord because of you. I'll come to you seeing the Lord, and I'll come to me seeing the Lord when I go to holiness. Let's just stay about others seeing the Lord right now. If you're a believer, you should be super concerned about others seeing the Lord through your life. You should be constantly asking yourself, in most that you do, is this going to make peace? Is this post gonna make peace? Is this proclamation gonna make peace? Is this stance gonna make peace? With all men as best as I can. Paul said that in other places, man. To live peaceably among all men as much as is in your control, if you would. Everything that we can do to have peace, we should do. And that won't always be easy because there will be this temptation. Listen, the language is this here. It's like this, because I don't want you to think I'm driving home a dead point. I'm not. It's like this. I want you to hear this and understand this. The writer here is basically saying this. I'm saying this to you because you're not doing it. I'm saying this to you because it's not natural for a man to make every effort within himself to do this. It's actually not natural at all. So some translators break it down like this. Let me read it to you from different translations. J.B. Phillips, I love his translation for understanding of scripture. He goes like this. Let it be your ambition to live at peace with all men. You ever wake up and like, man, I'm ambitious today. What are you ambitious for? To make good money? No, I'm ambitious to have peace with everybody. You think that way? I'll just be honest with you. I don't always think this way. Okay? Listen to this. The NIV, the nearly inspired version. Still use it though. It's a good translation here. It goes like this because it's convicting. Watch. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone. To live in peace with everyone. Your next door neighbor who's so difficult. Your unbelieving girlfriend that you were dating before you got saved, and now you've gotten saved and you're trying to figure out how to lead her or your boyfriend lead him to Christ, and how to try to get yourself out of the circumstance that you're in if God's not going to save them. And you're trying to, I mean, everyone, like all the situations that are weird and uncomfortable and strange. I mean, this is the idea here. Listen to what the ESV says. Strive for peace with everyone. Strive for peace with everyone. And I like how one translation renders it. Work at getting along with each other. This is to adults. This is to adults. We got to work, we got to strive, we got to be ambitious, we got to make every effort. We got to do it continuously, not just, well, I did it yesterday on the 4th of July, and, you know, I was at a party with people maybe that I don't necessarily jive with or really get along, so I did it yesterday, so today, man, I'm just not going to do it. No, we got to do it every single time there's an opportunity to be around other people. So when we gather back together next Sunday, what do we got to do? We got to love our neighbors. Isn't that amazing? You see the two commandments right here, don't you? Love your neighbors and love God. Live peaceably with all men and be holy before God. For without such, no man can see the Lord. You see, I see commandment one, I see commandment two. Hey, teacher, what are the greatest commandments in the law? Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Be holy. And you shall love your neighbor. How do I got to love him? As yourself. Live in peace. March 20th, 4 months ago almost, I made a video announcement saying church is canceled, opening it to the public. We're about to enter into something that's unprecedented, and we're all rookies at this. We got no clue what we're up against, and hopefully it's only for a few weeks, and we'll be back together by Easter. Now the 4th of July just happened, and next week will have been 17 weeks since the last time God's house was filled with his people here. And what did I say to you in that video? I said that the whole ambition behind what we're doing is that we might love our neighbors. The last Sunday before the doors open again and God's people come back into his house, I'm saying to you all over again, God wants me to say, love your neighbors. Live at peace. When we're around each other next Sunday, we'll use this for just a moment, and this guy over here thinks the whole thing was just blown out of proportion and a conspiracy and it's a political thing and this and that, and this guy over here's got a mask on and doesn't want you anywhere near him, what are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what our natural tendency to do is just like when junior high. Find people who think like you do and ostracize the person who doesn't and mock them and laugh at them and make sport of them. And the Bible is exhorting you and I today. It's not a point that I would seek in my natural to belabor, but the Holy Spirit wants me to talk to you about it. That we're going to live in peace. So if this person thinks it's the scariest thing in the world and a second wind might come and they're paranoid and this person thinks it's a joke and I'm not going to wear a mask and and they're going to wear it down, we got to figure this thing out. Because no man's going to see the Lord if we're constantly contentious with each other. It's so funny because everyone's like, all right, I get it, keep going, get along. No, we don't get it. We just don't get it. I'm watching, we don't get it. Holy Spirit, show me. We don't get it. We're nasty to each other. We're harsh toward each other. We're insulting toward each other. We're divisive with each other. Hey, remember Jesus? Remember this? Over there in Samaria, these people were preaching in your name, using your name. You want us to call down thunder, fire, and smoke them? Lord says, no. If they're not against us, they're for us. They're on the same side. There's no division. Remember, Paul had a right to the church in Corinth? Hey, some of you, I'm hearing about this. You're saying I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul. You think that like we're all these different sects, like we're on different teams going against each other. We're all on the same team. Some water, some seed, some bring the sunlight. But it's God who brings the harvest. What are we doing? And if we're dissembling, and if we're antagonizing, and if we're warring with each other, no one sees Jesus. So chill. Calm down, slow your roll. The picture's bigger than just you and you knowing everything and being some keyboard warrior in your basement or wherever you are, in your bedroom, texting and blowing up, you know, social media with all of your ideas as though you know everything. Nobody knows anything. The more we know, the less we know. We know God, though, and we know what his word says, and if we didn't know, now we know. And it's saying you're supposed to be living at peace. Live at peace with Democrats. Live at peace with Republicans. Live at peace with black people. Live at peace with white people, because there's something at risk here. Here's what's the underlying issue. People can't see the Lord. You want that to be because of you? Isn't that heavy? Do I want to come up here and use my platform? I got a platform, so do you. I got a platform, so do you. I should be seeking to use my platform. This is my public platform, but I got other platforms too. I'm a neighbor. So I got a platform in my neighborhood. I'm a father. I'm a husband, so I got a platform in my home. I'm a brother, so I got a platform with my family. I'm a brother-in-law, so I got a platform with my wife's family. I'm a friend. See what I'm saying? I'm an uncle. I got platforms, so do you. Y'all got platforms. Your workplaces, your sports team, you got platforms. Whoever you are, young people, old people, everybody's got a platform. And I'm seeing a lot of people use their platform to promote their own agenda or what they think's pressing. The Bible says, here's what I got to promote, peace. I got to live in peace with all, because what's at risk is people not seeing Jesus. Christians got to care. Write it down. Christians got to care. We got to care. I got to think to myself, what is this going to do? Is this going to be edifying? Is this going to be building up? Is this going to be encouraging, exhorting? Or is this going to be tearing down? Is this going to be an opportunity for the enemy to make mockery at the church and say, these two that are fighting on Facebook think I'm going to go to their church? They're nasty to each other. They're divisive with each other. They're tearing each other down. I don't even see people that I know out in the world treat each other this way, and they think that I'm going to have interest in their God. You see what I'm saying? I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to be a stepping stone. You shouldn't want to be a stumbling block. You should want to be a stepping stone. Is this making peace? Is this going to make peace? Is this going to make peace? He's the Prince of Peace. He cares about peace. For unto us, child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. He's the author of peace. So maybe you're thinking right now, if your mind is analytical like my mind is, this is why I'm going to make my next point. I right away go like this then. So if I'm pretending I'm in the seats or on the couch streaming right now, I go like this. So you're saying I should make peace? Because I know how people think. We want loopholes. So you're saying I should make peace at all costs? Nope, I'm saying this. The Holy Spirit is brilliant. He's genius because he goes like this. Follow peace and, go ahead, it's open book test. Holiness. Isn't that crazy? He couples peace with holiness. I'm not going to compromise my holiness to have peace. That's where I draw the line. That's imperative that you get that. Some Christians think, okay, so if I sign up to be a Christian, I got to sort of be a doormat and get walked on. I can't have any ideas. I can't have any opinions. I can't have my own identity. My identity is Christ. I no longer have it. You know, I got to wear a jean skirt down to my ankles and a bonnet over my head and carry a big Bible, and I got to be this way and very uniform. That's not how it is at all. You get to be your sanctified self. You get to be whoever you are, your antics, your isms. You be you. I'll be me. We're all fearfully and wonderfully made. It's beautiful. It's what makes the body of Christ the body of Christ. But there are some things that are black and white in Scripture, and they're not negotiables. This is one of them. Live in peace with everybody as much as possible, as Paul says in other places, with all men. But the line is drawn when holiness is compromised. So I'm not going to agree with you, or I'm not going to nod my head to you and just be silent before you. In my race that I'm running, looking unto Jesus, I'm trying to let you see Jesus in and through me as I'm running toward Jesus. That's part of my course. It's part of your course too. And where I'm going to draw the line in living in peace with people, not that I'm seeking to not, but here's where I'm going to say, no, that's enough, is when it compromises my holiness. Here's why. Because if my holiness is compromised, now I can't see the Lord. And if I can't see the Lord, I can't stay the course. Remember the author said, you got to look unto Jesus. You got to look unto Jesus. You got to look unto Jesus. You want to win? You want to finish? You want to cross the finish line? You want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord? You want to be at the king's table? You want to be at his banqueting table? You want to be at the feast, the supper of the Lamb? You want to do all these things that your heart is so passionate toward and excited about? If you want these things and you want to please the Lord, well, I have to be able to look to the Lord. It's imperative. I got to keep my eyes on him. But Jesus says this, you can't see me. I don't care if you think you can, and I don't care if you say you can. You can't see me if there's not holiness in your life. Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. Well, tell me this then, what's holy? Well, I'll tell you what holy isn't. It's not worldly. In a minute here, for them, not for you and I, in a few weeks for us, he's gonna take the life of Esau and contrast holiness and call him a profane and fornicating person, a worldly, secular man. You think of the world. What's the world like? What's the world like? What's the secular, outside of Christ world like? Think about what it's like. It's backbiting. It's full of gossip. It's full of slander. It's full of drunkenness. It's full of unfaithfulness. It's full of cheaters and liars and stealers. I mean, you know these things. It's the opposite of the Spirit, Galatians 5. It tells you all these works of the flesh. You can go read it on your own. Before the fruits of the Spirit, he says, these are the works of the flesh. These are the things of the world. It's opposite of holy. God is holy. In him is no darkness at all. God is light. You know that he is the definition of light. Before there were light bearers, there were light. And at the end of the age, when the sun and moon is gone, there will still be light in the new Jerusalem because he maketh light. And if he is in you, then light should be radiating through you so that all men can see Jesus. Sir, remember the Greeks in John 12, came to Philip and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. Jesus answers in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, only the pure in heart can see the Lord. Here, the writer to the Hebrews says the same gist. You want to see the Lord and you want the Lord to be seen through you, there's got to be holiness, not profanity. There's got to be a cleanliness about your life. We have this cleanliness by grace. We only, you know, obtain this cleanliness, if you would, by and through the grace of God and repentance. But nonetheless, we should be getting cleaner and cleaner in our pursuit of Jesus. Are you? Or are you nasty? Are you double-tongued? Are you contentious? A lot of Christianese out there. A lot of really, you know, catchy posts out there that I see. A lot of jargon getting thrown around, man, about, you know, all sorts of ideologies and quotes about Scripture. Not a ton of Scripture, but quotes about Scripture from a bunch of dead guys. Some good stuff. Or these hipster pastors and what they say about social matters. And well, I see a lot of this stuff, but are we just doing the basics, like following peace and following holiness? Pastor Chuck Smith says this: the best way to follow after holiness is to practice his presence. Because the instinct of man is, all right, pastor, you want me to follow peace, you want me to follow holiness so I can see God and people can see God in through me. Tell me, give me a list of things I should do and a list of things I can't do. It's like a diet. Tell me what I can eat, tell me what I can't eat, tell me when I should eat, tell me when I shouldn't eat, and I'll be good to go. That's what we want. We're consumers. That's what religion is. Religion's easy. Give me the rules and regulations, pastor. What, should I not wear a hat in church? Should I put money in the box? Should I read how many scriptures a day? Just tell me what I got to do and I'll do it, right? That's sort of man's way of thinking. But the love of God and the love relationship that God calls us to is way more demanding than any legal relationship. Love demands way more than legal rules and laws and regulations. God says, I'm not inviting you to religion. I'm inviting you to relationship where, because I first loved you, you love me back. And now you don't want to do what hurts my heart, and you do want to do what pleases my heart. And when you do what you don't want to do and it hurts my heart, it hurts your heart too. And if you stay there, hardhead, and if you stay there, stiff-necked, if you stay in that place, you're going to go from holy to holy, from grace to grace, strength to strength, cleaner to cleaner. You understand? It's when you sort of just kind of get like calloused and just hard-hearted and indifferent to the impressions and the promptings of the Spirit of God. That's a dangerous place. You can't see God anymore. Isn't that troublesome? I couldn't get past it. This is too deep. I got to follow peace with all men. I got to chase it like a hunt. Sean and I, the last several nights, we chase our puppy around the house like we're on a hunt. He's nuts. He gets out of his crate if we're out, wherever we would be during the day. And we got to, one goes that way, one goes this way. And we got to chase him. I had a stick the other night. I'm trying to, you know, stir him into his crate. I can't catch him. You know, he's just so fast. He slips through. We can't get him. We chase him. Last night, the fireworks were going off in all different parts of our neighborhood. So we're on the deck, and it was wonderful at first, but then there's fireworks over here, and fireworks over there, and then fireworks over there. So what do? We got in the truck, and the kids got in the bed of the truck, perfectly safe and legal, and we just started to drive around the neighborhood, and what are we doing? We're chasing the fireworks. We're not aggressive. It's not a chase where it's a thing of, like, I'm going to hunt you down and do something. It's a chase, like, I'm after it. Nothing's getting in my way. I want my kids to see the fireworks. I want to grab my dog and put him where he needs to be. There's a chase. I can't let anything detour me. That's your chase this week. Chase peace. Just keep asking yourself. If you can't remember what I already said, write it down. What makes peace? Love, kindness, goodness, come on, gentleness. I mean, these are the things that make for peace. And if you say, I can't remember all that, then the greatest of these is love. Just love. Love people. Love people. Love people. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Should I post this? Listen, if you're serious about Jesus, it will work. I'll tell you that. because I'm somebody who experiences these things, and I'm saying to you, I didn't read out of a book. It's like this. I have text typed up sometimes, and I feel the Holy Spirit say strong to me. You should not hit send right now. You better just delete that. Just don't even send it. I don't really post. I'm not on Facebook. It's a stumbling block to me. But if I'm going to put something on Instagram, or if I'm going to tweet or twit or whatever you want to call it, I got to say, God, is this, you know, I mean, this could be a thing that is really going to, it's going to stumble people. It's going to rub people wrong. I feel like it's vogue right now to do that. Like, I'm going to put something that's sexy and just sort of like risque on social. I'm going to get a response up here. I'm going to entice that. That is not a shepherd, man. Read your Bibles. These are the guys that have like a million followers. I'm going to put something on that I know that a lot of people don't agree about. I'm going to, it'll be a war. And then I'm going to be sarcastic in my responses if I respond. And I'm going to leave the bride of Christ in a fight, and I'm going to back up, and I'm going to watch it, and I'll let the world watch it. And then if I jump in, I'm going to get somebody real good with something. I'm going to back off again. I'm going to put something on my backdrop that totally stumbles so many people because it's vogue. Or I'm going to go like this. Always, only Jesus. My platform is to exalt always, only Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You understand what I'm saying? I got to reel it in. I'm responsible for the local body here. I got to reel it in. I don't care. Thank God I've never cared what people think. And I especially don't care what people think when it comes to the teaching of God's word. I want to exegete as best as I can and pull out Jesus and keep text in context and give them to the bride. And I want to teach. That's all I want to do. I just want to tell you what God says. I try to keep my personality out of it. I try to keep my thoughts and opinions out of it. And when they slip through, I try to say, that's my opinion. That's just one of my thoughts. Don't get it twisted. It's not the word of God. Listen, this morning I'm saying this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't got to wonder. I don't have to do any of that. I could just know this. Okay, this is, I study language and tenses. Okay, this is a present imperative. The word is aggressive in the Greek. It's you go hunt, you go chase after peace and holiness. Holiness bridles peace that is ungodly. So if the peace is starting to get compromised, listen, in order to have it, the Holy Spirit says, oh, no. Holiness takes preeminence. But in your pursuit of the peace, you pursue holiness too, so that you can see God and others can see God in and through you. Because Christ-likeness, write it down. Christ-likeness, write this down. Christ-likeness is the greatest witness to that lost world. Christ-likeness. Sir. Remember it? Sir. We would see Jesus. Philip goes and tells Andrew. They go to Jesus. And what did he say? What did he say? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Can I say something new in my closing remarks? How dare we? How audacious and arrogant of us. How dare we step between that cross and a person's view? Jesus said, oh, I want all men to see me. The Gentiles, Greeks, the Jews hated Gentiles. They thought the Gentiles were created to fuel the flames of hell. Jesus goes like this, I want them to see me. But for Greeks to see me, and for Jews to see me, and for church people to see me, and unchurched people to see me, and for black people to see me, and for white people to see me, and for brown people to see me, and yellow people like me to see him, right? If we're going to see him, he says there's only one way to really see me, and it is high and lifted up, and then I, by the power of my spirit, will draw all men. It's the language of Hebrews 12. You see it? The Bible is the best commentary of the Bible. You see what's going on? I will draw all men unto myself, .. Get out of the way, Christian. Get out of the way. Put your pride aside. Your own thinking aside. Listen, you could think a certain way and you could feel a certain way, but there's a right timing and there's a right place. What I can say to my board of elders behind closed doors and what I could say right now to you in a monologue is vastly different. What we could talk about next Sunday, in a dialogue is vastly different than what I could say right now. We got to just think this way. on an open forum on social media for everybody to see versus a private text message chat. I mean, these are very vastly different things. We got to start thinking this way, church. We got to wake up. What's at risk is people aren't going to see Christ. And if they don't see Christ, they don't get saved. And if, remember these things? And if they don't get saved, what happens? How did this whole love affair start? They go to hell. We all still believe in hell, right? Jesus talks about hell more than he talks about heaven. We all still believe in these things. Come on. I know it's been 4 months, but let's get our minds right. We're running a race. People's souls are at stake. That's how this whole love affair began. We heard from somebody that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We knew nothing about anything. We didn't have a political stance. We didn't know anything. We were just stuck in the muck of our sin. Someone told us it emancipated our souls. You remember it? You remember doing the shots and drinking the beer and being in a bed with somebody who's not your spouse? And one day somebody, the love of God, just pursued after you and it came knocking on the door of your heart? And you didn't even know who it was, and you opened and you heard the gospel. And you were told that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You didn't understand anything else. You didn't know anything else. You just heard about a love like you never heard of before. And it won your heart. It won your heart. That's what's at stake for other people. He left us here to be his hands and his feet. He left us here to be his representative so that the world can know him the way that you know him. He wants to initiate a love affair with other people. Don't get in the way. I want all people to see me. I've been lifted up. I died on that cross for their sins. They got to know about it. They're bearing their sins still. Y'all, how heavy are your sins? How heavy are your sins? How heavy are your July 4th sins? At that party yesterday, how carried away did you get with your words? How lustful were you with your eyes? How nasty were you behind closed door to your family trying to get to that party or try to settle in after coming home from that party? How nasty, how ungodly were you just yesterday? Could you imagine if you had to bear that type of weight, not just yesterday, but today, tomorrow, and going on forward without somebody coming and taking that load off of you? For goodness sakes, be gracious. Be compassionate. Christ wants to take the heaviness of sin off other people's backs the way he's taking it off your back. What do you do when you have a day of sin? What do? You go to the cross and you find forgiveness and your load is light again and your yoke is easy and your burden is light and you walk with Jesus. You can breathe. People out there can't breathe for the love of God. They're suffocating in their sin. Please hear me right now. They're suffocating in their sin. They're chanting and they're yelling, whatever they're hearing that's in vogue, just to be a part of something. They just want to fit in. Half the people don't even know what they believe. There are people that don't even know what July 4th is about. This world's lost. The universities aren't giving the answers. The schools aren't giving the answers. The news anchors, the journalists are not giving the answers. We are the hope of the world. We have to understand this. The church. Christ wants to lift the heaviness off of these people. Stop. Please listen to me right now. What camera am I on? Is this one? I want to talk to whoever you are listening to this message right now. Please listen to what I'm saying to you. Stop fighting and warring among other believers. Stop. Listen. Who cares if you got to wear a stinking mask? Be thankful that you got a church to bring people to be emancipated. You understand what I'm saying? Stop majoring on the minors. Stop worrying about, listen, even right now, the Holy Spirit just gave me this sermon. Some of you are worrying about who's in the seats. It's leadership people. It's people that we brought in to test our system so we're ready for you next week. Stop letting the devil have a heyday with your mind. Put on the helmet of your salvation. You're a soldier in Christ's army. Endure hardships. See past the nonsense. Don't participate in schisms and division. It's ungodly. We're doing everything that we can here to do what? Chris, to do what? Jay, to do what? What are we doing? What are we doing all this for? I feel like Adrian yelling at Rocky on the beach right now. What are we doing all this for? For God's sake, get your eye of the tiger back, Rocky. What are you even doing this for? I'm telling you what we're doing this for. so that people can see Jesus. That's what we're doing this for. So who cares where you're seated? Who cares what's on your face? You're acting like this is something that you never heard of before. We've been conditioned. It's been going on for 4 months. Well, that's exactly my point, Pastor. We've been conditioned. It's all conspiracy. If they can make us wear masks, they can take our guns. I don't know. I just know Christ and Christ crucified. That's all I know. That's all I care about. Get in the game. Let's go. Bring people. Fill these seats. Make me have to preach 3 times next week. I want to preach 3 services next week. Sign up. I want 3 services next week. Fill this place. Who cares if only 50%, 33% can get in? We got a lawn. It's big. Hundreds of people. Big tents coming out there. Got a big screen that's going to be put out there. Who cares? Let's win people to Jesus. This is a message from the Prince of Peace coming straight out of the Holy of Holies. And if you don't know what that is, that's where the presence of God resides. He says to you and me, this is his word. He goes like this, chase peace. Go on, chase peace this week. Stop talking about your brother and sister. Stop slandering. Stop gossiping. Stop insulting. Stop insulting this church and stop insulting that church. You got no clue what goes on behind the scenes. It is so hard. Don't insult. Stop judging that guy over there because he's been at the bar and you saw it on Instagram and you can't believe they're at the bar and now you're going to see him next Sunday. Who in the world are you? Do you know how depressing it is to live alone in a pandemic? I don't. So they went to the bar. Get over it. You've done way worse in your mind and in your heart, you Pharisee. That's Pharisaical. I'm serious. I'm done. No more church games. We don't have time for it. Christ is coming. In the beginning of this whole thing, it was, man, is the trump going to sound? Why did we lose that? It still might sound. Last I checked the news, it's worse now than ever. The fear, a second wave of coronavirus and school might not be reopening and Listen, stop it. If they're here, they're here. And I'm just blessed, and you should be just blessed that they came. Can we keep it real with ourselves? We have to. If we don't keep it real with ourselves, we won't keep it real with each other. I'm a beggar. Say it out loud. I'm a beggar. Trying to tell other beggars. Can't even say it. So I'm definitely not the one who's got the bread, but I want to tell them about the one who makes the bread, who is the bread of life. Jesus, okay? That's what we want to do as we go into this week. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to do. We want to see people get lifted from that sin, man. It crushes people. It ruins you. It's too heavy. We can't bear it. Can't bear sin. I can't bear your sin. You can't bear your sin. You can't bear my sin. Our sin's too heavy. Y'all with me? Did I drive it home? You understand? We can't bear. Stop it. People need it lifted off of them. Pursue peace. Pursue holiness. Pursue peace. Pursue holiness. God, you're around me. You're all around me. You're within me. You're above me. You're below me. You're all around me, God. In you I live and move. Come on. In you I live, I move, I have my being, God. In you I live and move and have my being, God. You're everywhere. You just heard what I said. You just saw what I thought. You see my thoughts afar off. You hear my words before they're foam. All my days were fashioned before you. You have the blueprints to my life. There's nothing that you don't know about me, God. I'm naked and open before you. There's nothing that you can't see. You're an all-consuming fire. You burn bright within me, God. You know. So when I do something, say something, think something, God, that's not pleasing to you. Oh, God, wash me in your blood. Fill me with your spirit. Practice his presence, holiness. Practice his presence, holiness. Can I wear this? Who cares? Practice his presence, holiness. Can I go there? I don't know. Practice his presence. It's holiness. See what I'm saying? How many verses should I read? Doesn't matter. Let God speak to you. Practice his presence and let there be holiness. You following me? Way more demanding than rules and regulations. And chase peace. Hunt peace. Will this make peace? Will this make peace with my wife? Will this make peace with my kids? Will this make peace in Spencerport and Gates and Brockport and the East Side, the West Side, the city of Rochester, the state of New York, the country of the USA? Will this make peace? I want people to see God. I want people to see God. Don't you? I just want people to see Jesus. Step aside and let him see Jesus. Would you guys come and lead us in the last song? He's gracious. He lets marred people like us that are full of scars, that tell stories, saves wretches like me, and he lets us show people Jesus. How gracious is that? He It's not like he just is like arrogant, like, hey, step out of the side, amateur. Get out of the way so people can see me. He goes like this. Come here. Actually, he goes like this. Come here. You've been abased. You've been humbled. You've allowed the Holy Spirit to make you contrite. Let me now exalt you. Watch this. I know it's been 39 minutes since I started, but listen to this. Watch this. No, 49 minutes. Watch this. I'm going to take you. You've been abased. You've gotten low. What is that? What am I going to do? You go down, I lift you up. I'm going to exalt you. I'm going to bring you back in the picture. This is crazy. I'm the cross. If I'm Jesus, right? I'm going to go like this. Jimmy, come here. Come here. I'm going to bring you back in. You got scars everywhere. You got a story. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect, right? He takes us just like the sun and the moon. My gosh, he's giving me something right now. Watch this. The world, the sun, the moon. Moon, what are you going to do? Reflect the sun. Moon's ugly. Divots and scars and marks, ugly. But when that moon is between the sun and the earth, it shines light. It reflects the light of the sun to the world. And he wants to do that with us. He wants to do that with broken people. He wants to take us. And he wants to place us between the cross and the lost. And he lets us go before him and woo people unto himself. God, we put our faith in you this morning. We love you. We are so excited about what you're going to do, Lord. These are scary times. These are uncertain times. These are really bizarre times. These are unknown times. These are strange times. God, and apart from you, Lord, these are times that maybe we would say, I'm not sure I want to be alive for. But in you, Lord, these are exciting times. Lord, these are times for the church to shine bright, Lord, and to radiate your love and your glory and to reach this lost world. So strengthen us, God, and empower us. Forgive us of our sins, God. Forgive us for backbiting. Forgive us for being double-tongued. Forgive us for being slanderers. Forgive us for being gossipers. Forgive us for being fake. Forgive us for being phony. Forgive us, Lord, for being pharisaical. Forgive us for being religious, God. Forgive us for misrepresenting you. Forgive us for the wretchedness within us, God. Wash us in your blood. Fill us with your spirit, God, and empower us for the days that are ahead of us to run the race to win, God. It's for your glory that we run. We bless you. We put our faith in you. We sing to you this morning. We exalt the name of Jesus wherever we are. Rise to your feet and sing to Jesus. Clap your hands. Bless the name of the Lord.